Jesus said, "Let him that is athirst come and take the water of life." So this morning, I want you to turn your Bible to Psalm. We're going to look in the book of Psalm. We're going to look at different places this morning in the book of Psalm, the Psalms. We're going to go to a powerful scripture, and Psalms 42. When you're there, say amen. When you're there, say amen. If you're here, say amen. If you're not here, say amen. All right, who said that? Honesty. Amen. We can be here, but not here. So I pray everybody's here today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You know, I remember Psalm 42. We're going to read some scripture there, okay, while you're turning there. Psalm 42. Let's go ahead and just read it. And if you can't stand for the reading of God's word, if you can't stand, then that's okay, all right? God understands. He says, "As the deer pants for the water brook, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continuously say to me, 'Where is your God? Where is your God? Where is your God?'" You know, when we're down and we can't get any lower, we feel, isn't that the voice that comes to us? Where is your God? Where is he? If he was God, would he abandon you? Would he leave you? Would he leave you this way? Would he do this to you? How many here be real with me and ever had the enemy speak to you that way before? Where is your God? Has he ever said that? Where is your God? Well, he did to David. He said, "Where is your God, David?" And when I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me. For I used to go with the multitude, with the faithful. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and the voice of praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim's feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. Verse 8. The Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and the night his song shall be with me, a prayer to the God of my life. And I will say to the God my rock, "Why have you forgotten me? Why do I go mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with the breaking of my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say to me all day long, 'Where is your God?' Why are you cast down, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him, the help of my countenance and my God." Can everybody say amen? You may be seated. Amen. Let me share with you this morning first a little bit. You know, this psalm was written by David. Many believe, I mean, there's probably other theories who it might have been written by. You know, some Moses wrote some of the Psalms, but this is no doubt penned by David. David is a man who was a man who was after God's heart. How many knew that in Scripture? That's found in the New Testament and the Old Testament. The Lord said, "I sought for a man, and I found David, who was a man after my own heart." David had his ups and his downs, and a lot of David's life was ins and outs, but this was a time when David was in the wilderness. Have you ever been in the wilderness before? Have you ever been in a dry, arid, barren place before? You know, there's many scriptures found in the Word of God for the reference of water. It's found usually when it's relating to dry or barrenness or wilderness. There's over 300 times that's made reference to in the Scripture. Over 50 sometimes, nearly 60 sometimes, do we find the word thirst in scriptures? It's significantly important. You know, to us, it may not be important, the thing of thirst, but have you ever been thirsty before? You know, I know people say, well, I have been thirsty before. You know, I know some of you have gone to test in the doctors, and you've had to take like a some kind of a test on the GI tract, and you've had to do without water, without food, maybe a certain amount of time. How many's ever been that way before? And before you start the test, you were so thirsty, your mouth was so dry, but they said you couldn't drink anything. Anybody know what I'm talking about right there? You couldn't drink anything. You know, water is the essential element of life. It's the essential of life. We've got to have water to survive. Whether we realize it or not, the body of Christ has to have the presence of Jesus in order to survive. We can't survive without Him, amen? He's the water of life. He's the water of life. My dad used to say that water is the essence of life. And you know, it's so very important to us. It may not be important because some of us have maybe never been so thirsty before. We can go to the water spigot and we can turn on the spigot and get all the water we want. We can go to the store and buy water in bottles. Think about that. When I was growing up, there was no such thing as water in bottles. And I heard somebody say, the day will come when they charge you for air and charge you for water. And water everywhere. And the old saying is, but not a drop to drink. How many knows that you can die of thirst in the ocean? I'm a teacher. That means when you don't raise your hand, that means you don't know the answer. I'm going to probably pick on you. No, I'm just kidding. How many knows that you can die of thirst in the ocean? You can have water all around you, but nothing to drink. You can't drink that kind of water because it's so contaminated with salt. So heavy is the salt content. But we need water to survive. And you got to understand that Jesus knew that. The important significance of water in the land that he was ministered in the arid, dry places of Palestine and Judea and all the areas around that part of the world. There isn't a lot of green, lush things except around those little pockets of water pools where they can grow things. It's very important. Water is very important in that part of the world. Water is still significantly important. There's a lot of people in the world today dying for lack of clean water. All over the world, we don't see that. We don't get that important thing. But there are people dying for lack of water. There are people today that are begging that wells be dug in their areas. Water is essential, my friend. We must have it in order to survive. Jesus knew this. I remember when I was playing basketball, practicing basketball, and whether you believe that or not, there was a day that I did get to do that, and I was pretty active. But I remember some of our drawn-out practices that our coach put us through. We weren't the type of players today that they put you in the weight room and jerk weights all over you all the time. We were more about finesse and running. And you got to remember this. It was important to be in shape. But our coach would run us until our tongues literally hung out. That we couldn't go any further. And many of us would just drop to our knees. Oftentimes he would give us salt pills because we lost so much water through perspiration. So lost so much water that they give us salt pills. I don't know if they do that today. But they had to try to replenish the salt. But I remember leaving practice and walking home, and there was a little gas station up beside the road, and my mom and dad had a small credit line there at the gas station. They must knew that I needed that whatever they had to drink there, which was usually a big tall Coca-Cola or a big tall Pepsi-Cola. How many know that will not satisfy your thirst when you're thirsty? You know, I would drink, listen, 16 ounces was a big drink at that time. Okay, I know it's not a big drink now, but it was a big drink. And I would drink literally 3 16-ounce drinks before I left that garage or left that little minute mark or that little station. I would literally drink it. But I hadn't gone no more than 5 minutes on up the road toward my house that I was thirsty again. You know, people are thirsty today. but they're satisfying their thirst with the wrong thing. How many knows that only Jesus can satisfy your thirst? Only Jesus can meet the need that's deep within the recesses of your heart. Only Jesus can fill that need in your life. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are they that hunger and thirst for righteousness' sake, for they shall be filled. Only Jesus can satisfy the deep need in our lives. You can't get that need met anywhere else. I know that you can go to a lot of places like I did trying to satisfy my thirst. You can try to satisfy your need and your thirst for God by substituting a lot of things in place of Him. And how many knows that we live in the day of substitutions? We got a substitution for everything. You got a substitution for meat. You got a substitution for milk. You've got a substitution for vegetables. You've got a substitution for people. You've got a substitution for everything. But let me tell you something. There is no substitute for God. There is only, listen, God made in you, God made in your life a place that His contents can only dwell and live in. And to try to fill that void and try to fill that empty spot in your life with anything else that you think you can fill it, guess what? It'll only come short. Only Jesus, only that drink that comes from Him can satisfy the soul that thirsts and hunger for Him. Lord, give us a thirst for You. Give us a hunger for You. Beyond, Lord, what we're trying to put in our life to meet that need. Only Jesus can satisfy your thirst. Listen, you can't get that satisfied. You can't satisfy that thirst in any other form. I want you to turn to the Bible, and I feel important, impressed to read this right now. To the book of Isaiah. Turn to the book of Isaiah. And I want you to read some powerful scripture this morning. God is about meeting and satisfying the thirst within your heart. Have you noticed on the doorpost inside the room here, inside the sanctuary as you're leaving, has you noticed some writing above the doorpost called hunger and thirst for God? How many's ever seen that before? That's what we're praying and declaring over you today. We're praying such an unsatiable thirst for you, for God, that nothing else can take its place. Nothing else can come close. Only God can meet the deepest need that is in your heart. Isaiah 55:1, he says, ho, everyone who thirsts, let him come to the water. Everybody say something about that water. There is something amber about that water. There is something about this water. You know what? There's a story about my family. And whether you know, this is not interesting to you because it's my family. It's not your family. But I'm going to tell you this for the sake of what I'm hearing. There was a special well in our holler called Grandpa and Grandma's well. There was something important about that well because the water never went dry in the well. It was always full. It doesn't matter how dry it was around. Grandpa always had water in the well. But you got to know that one time a year, he shimmied down that well and took a bucket and he cleaned out the well. You know what? Sometimes we got to do that in our well. We got to go down in the well and we got to say, spring up, O well, as Numbers chapter 21, as God instructed the children of Israel to do. When they stood over the well seemed to be barren and not giving water or no life in it. And so he said, speak down into that well. Sing to your well. Spring up, O well. Sometimes when we feel like there's aridness or dryness in our life, listen, try a little praise. Amen. It'll do the body good. Try a little heart-to-heart worship. It'll do the body good. When you feel like that your reserve or your reservoir is dry, you need to look over the balcony of your disappointments and struggles and discouragement, and you need to say, spring up, O well. I know there's water in there for a thirsty soul. Oh, somebody needs to shout yes. There was something different about this water, something different about the water of life that's unique and different than all the other all the other things that try to satisfy man's thirst deep within his heart. Lord, give us a thirst for you. Give us a thirst for you. Give us a thirst that will bring us to our knees. Give us a thirst that will cause us to rise up, Lord, and to praise you early in the morning. Give us a pray. Give us a thirst for you that won't be satisfied with anything else. We won't be satisfied with the things of the world. We won't be satisfied with the pleasures of the world, because none of them can fill the thirst but you, Jesus. Because there's a place in the heart of man that only God can fill. Amen. Only God can fill this need in your life. I'm going to say something to you. Some of you, then we'll get back to the well. There's something about the well. Turn to somebody and say, there's something about the well. Dakota, you know there's something about the well that's different. There's something about the water that Jesus gives you that's different. And I'm going to say this. This is a statement. I thought it was a pretty powerful, simple statement. Man was created for God, regardless of the opinion of some people that God wasn't created for man. Oh, you missed that one, didn't you? Do you realize that, listen, man was created to give God glory. God didn't create himself to give you glory. God created you that you bear the image of the heavenly, and you bear forth that image of the heavenly, and you give glory to God. Only God can meet that need in your life. Only God can satisfy that deep longing in your life. I know we go to a lot of places trying to meet and satisfy that need. We try to meet that need in relationships. There's only one relationship that'll fill your need, and that's the relation, that's the void that God put in there. So you can marry women and men, you can do everything, you can find this relationship, you can get in this one night stand. And I hear people all the time, oh, if I could just find that one person. Guess what? If that one person is all you're looking for, you'll never find that one person that will satisfy your thirst. You know why? Because only Jesus can satisfy that thirst. You've got to get a hold of that. Only Jesus can meet that need. If you're trying to fill your heart with other people and relationships, you can look, listen, you can have a string of relationships from here to from here to Texas, and they'll never satisfy that need. Amen. Because Jesus can only satisfy that need. He can only meet that thirst. Oh, if I just had another job, I know I'd be happy. If I only had another job, if I had just, listen, this amount of money, if I only had this certain size house, or if I only had this certain size boat, or if I only had this certain size amount of money in my bank, I know I'd be satisfied. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. I don't mean to bust your bubble. I'm not trying to be mean, because what you're trying to do, you're looking in a dead desert, barren land, trying to find water when there's no water to be found except in a relationship that can be found in Christ Jesus. Somebody needs to shout yes. Holy Spirit, wake your people up. Wake them up. Wake them up. Stir their hearts, Lord. Give them a drink of cold water. Oh, his good news is like a cold drink of water to a man, a thirsty man in a dry land. Billy, only Jesus can meet that need in your life. Only Jesus can satisfy that thirsty soul back to the well. So people come all over the place, like that little spigot that come out of the mountain down here at Ramsey. Didn't they used to have water coming out there? People drive from Kentucky to get water and their jugs. You know how many? There's two. You probably, some of you too young to remember that. I don't know what's the name of it. Spouse Springs. Wow. Think about that. People came from all over the place to get some good water out of that mountain. Well, they did Grandpa's well the same way. But Grandpa had a pride in his well, and he took care of his well. He took care of his well. My mother used to say, there's something magical about that water. No, My mom didn't believe in magic, but she said there's something special about that water. Because she tried to give all the females the water that came from Grandpa's well. Some of you. Something about the water. Everybody say there's something about the water. There's something about Jesus that you can't explain. There's something about Jesus that you can't explain. There's something about Jesus that you can't explain. There's something about Jesus. There's something about this blind man, leper cleanser, man who walked on water. There's something about this man who raised the dead. There's something about this man that touched the withered hand. There's something about this man that opened the blinded eyes. I said, there's something about this man. There's something about this man. There's something about this man. Need to get excited a little bit right here. Some of you all need to get a little excited right now. Amen. There's something about that well. That well was special. It's still in existence today. But something about that well. Something about that water. John chapter 4, when Jesus went way out of his way one day on a mission, him and his followers, he said this, I must needs go to Samaria. Well, Samaria was on the other side of town. It was on the other side of the tracks. It was in no man's land. It was in a place that Jews had no connection with because they were Samaritans. They were half Jew and they were of Samaria descent. So therefore, the Jews, because of what they thought was an impure bloodline, didn't have anything to do with them. They avoided them in all possibility. They avoided these people, but not Jesus. I'm glad that I serve a God that doesn't worry about my past, doesn't worry about my pedigree, doesn't worry about where I came from, doesn't worry about what I've done, doesn't worry about how I messed up, doesn't worry about where I've been, doesn't worry about that, but a God that will go out of his way to find me, to find me, to find me, even in my hopelessness. Am I still talking about the water? Yes. Because he went out of his way and he went to a well. He went to a well. Something about the well. He went to a well. He went to a well. It was Jacob's well. Many people in biblical Old Testament times, the descendants, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, wells were very important to these people and to their clans and to their people because it was the life source of their flocks and their animals and their crops. It was a life source of their very existence. They needed that water. So wells were very important. In this well, Jacob's well, a lot of powerful things happened. But listen, friend, there was something going to happen on this day that was unlike any day ever before. Because Jesus met a woman at the well. A woman came to the well to get herself a drink and to take back a pot of water to her family to give them some life for that day. All the necessities of life that day. She came at that certain time of day. And knowing because she did have a reputation. I like it when Jesus goes beyond reputations. Is everybody with me today? Everybody with me today? Everybody with me today? Everybody with me today? I'm still talking about the water. Turn to somebody and say, he's still talking about the water. Don't you lose me right now, Tiff. Don't you lose me right now, because this is a zone. You got to be in that. So this is what happened. Jesus went out of his way and met at the well, and he was there, and a woman came to the well one day, and she was a woman messed up, had a lot of problems in her life. She was in a lot of broken relationships, like a lot of people I meet every day in life. They've been hurt by relationships. They've been wounded by the past of their relationships. They've been disappointed, disillusioned by people who have let them down. Guess guess what, friend? If you put all your hope and confidence in man, you're only going to be let down, friend. But listen, if you'll put your hope and trust in God, the one who can get you out, amen. The one that can lead you out. The one can give you water when you're thirsty. The one that can lift you up when you're down and out. If you'll put your trust and confidence in him, he'll always satisfy your need and your thirst, amen. He'll supply your need, whatever it is, amen. Thought I was saying this a while ago. I pray that every person in here be woken up by the power of the Holy Ghost to receive this word today. Receive this word in your heart. I'm not interested in people coming up to me saying, "Good message, Pastor." I'm more interested in you grabbing a hold of that word and say it at the end of the week, "Lord, I'm thirsty, Lord. Lord, I'm thirsty. I'm thirsty, Lord. I'm thirsty, Lord." So she came for a drink and she went home with the well. Kelly, she came for a drink. But she went home with the well. Some of you today, thirsty in this room. I see thirst all over your spirits and countenance. But I pray a greater thirst on your life. I pray a thirst that will cause us to have breakouts of the power and the presence of Jesus, where people are not worried about their own agendas, but they're more interested in the kingdom of God. And listen, projecting that powerful message to a lost and hopeless world. Jesus went out of his way. Jesus went out of his way when he went here. Do you not realize that? You think the cross was easy? You think the cross was easy? Jesus went a long way out of his way to ensure to you and I that our eternal thirst could be met forever. He that drinketh the water I shall give him shall never thirst again. We need a thirst for God, a thirst for God, a thirst for God that only God can meet. And so when Jesus disclosed, listen, this woman and who she was, her past and what she was about and how messed up her life had been and how broken and how troubled her life was, when she looked at this man with that look in his eyes, and when she heard his word, and she couldn't argue or discuss his word, even though she tried to explain it away, or tried, and I don't have time to go into all that, but the thing was here, that she, her need was met, because all Jesus gave her the living water. If you knew who this was that you were talking to, you would ask of me and I would give you the living water. Amen. How many knows there's something about the water that comes from that well? And when you drink from this well, you'll never, amen, nothing will ever satisfy you except this water. She left with the well. And she went back into her community. She says, "Come and see. Oh, come here, guys. I've got to tell you something. I've got to tell you." You know what hunger, true hunger and thirst will be? Listen, it's catchable. It's contagious. It's powerful. It's exciting. Listen, if serving Jesus is not exciting about you, you need to get you another drink. You need to get you another dose of the sweet Holy Ghost. Amen. Because there's something about this well that will satisfy the deepest longing in your heart. "Come and see a man that told me everything that I've ever done." I don't know how long Jesus stayed at the well, but it was long enough for him to tell her everything she had done. Jesus knows you this morning, friend. Jesus knows where you are. We may hide it. We may run from it. We may put it under a rug, or we may hide it in a closet. But God knows who we are. He knows our needs. He knows what you need today. Aren't you glad that he knows what you need? Amen. Amen. Somebody give him some praise. Oh, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters. Come to the waters. And you who have no money, come and buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Oh, hallelujah. Why do you spend your money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Why do you spend in all your dreams and hopes and ambitions and energy on something that's not going to satisfy? Why do you put everything you got into your work, and there's nothing? We need work. And you know, CA needs a job, and we need to pray for CA. And you know what? I'm thankful what God is doing in JoJo's life. Thank the Lord. You know, had this surgery this week, but JoJo, I sense something different in your spirit that I haven't seen since in a while. I sense a thirst. When we were sitting at the table the other day talking, listen, the water of life began to break loose in your well. And listen, he began to talk to us in a very broken, powerful place in his life. Let me tell you something. God knows where we are, and he knows what we need. And he says, why do you spend your whole life searching for things that can't satisfy? It's like a dead-end street. It's not going anywhere. It's like a job that doesn't work out. It's like a relationship that doesn't work out. It's like money that you'll spend, and you'll spend, and you'll spend, and you'll have none at the end. Let me tell you something. Only what you have done for Christ will count. Only at the end, what you have in Jesus will stand. Amen. You can't take all the things that you felt like you needed in your life to satisfy your life. You can't take it with you. Amen. How many knows that you can only take Jesus with you? You can only take Jesus with you. Hallelujah. Give me Jesus. Give me Jesus. Turn to somebody and say, just give me Jesus. Give me a drink of that cold, cold water. Some of you looking at other people drink while you're standing looking at other people drinking when you can have the same water. Amen. You can have the same water. You can have the same water. There's a fountain that never runs dry. There's a river that never runs dry. There's a fountain that never runs dry that flows from the very veins of Emmanuel. There's a presence of God that's enough for everyone, friend. We all need to come to the water. We all need to come to the well. We all need a thirst for the living God. Hallelujah. Don't waste your life trying to find things to satisfy the thing in your life that only God can meet. Winding down here. This has not gone at all the way I thought. David used the analogy of a deer driven by hunters up into the woods. And the type of deer he's talking about is a special breed that is very typical of that dry, arid place. They were gazelles. They were speedy and fast and could rock and could walk and you know, high places, and you know, hearts and deer, and all these names given to hinds feet, and all these things given to deer at that time. This was a special deer, but isn't anything uncommon to see in a dry place, to see a watering hole, to see hundreds of deer, small gazelle, all assembled and all gathered as a herd at that flock. And you can walk up so close to them, because they're so thirsty. They're so thirsty for water. And they can't be spooked easy, because they're trying to satisfy the thirst that's in them. Listen, friend. As a deer painteth for the water brook, so painteth my soul for thee. David was David was running from his enemy. In fact, let me tell you who his enemy was he was running from. He was running from his son. He was running from his son, Absalom. You'll say, what? Why was he running from his son? Because his son wanted to overthrow the throne. His son wanted David's throne. His son wanted David's power. There are people that are thirsty and hungry for different things. But listen, I want to stir your heart to hunger and thirst for God. I want to stir your heart to go after God with everything within you. I want to stir your heart to not go after religious activity, but go after relationship with the living God. I want to stir you not just to go after more church services or more this and more that, but I'm going to stir your hearts to go after a relationship with God. Because I remember in 1991 when I was in my wilderness, when I 1990 when I was in my wilderness, and I left, and I was fleeing and running. But listen, friend, I come to the end of myself, and I said, God, I'm thirsty. God began to stir a thirst and a hunger for me, a thirst and a hunger for me. And listen, I tried to find it in a lot of different things. I tried to find it in religious servitude. I tried to find it in, you know, religious rituals and routines and traditions, but I couldn't find it. Nothing could satisfy. And God drew me to the wilderness, and God began to show me the fountain of living waters. God began to show me a fountain that could satisfy my thirst. And I've been hungry and I've been thirsty ever since. Listen, I've never been perfect. I'm not perfect. But there's one thing about it. I want my heart to always go after the living God. To always go and hunger and pain after the living God. Even in my wilderness. Only God can satisfy my thirst. Only God can satisfy that deep thirst within. And I begin to seek God. I begin to seek God. I shared this the other day. I begin to go after God. I begin just to hang out with God. I didn't have religious agenda. I began to open the Word of God in a level that I had never opened it before. It wasn't just studying for sermons. It was going after God. I began to ask God to speak to my heart. And He began to speak to my heart. And it began to pour things into me that was just powerful things that were way out of my element, way out of my comfort zone. Let me tell you something. There's things that God wants to do in your life that's above and beyond your comfort zone. If you're going to only do for God what you're comfortable with, friend, you'll never get there. Amen? You'll never get there. God wants to take us other places in the Spirit, in the power, and the presence of the Holy Ghost that some of you need to go and hunger and thirst after with all your heart. All your heart, soul, mind, and strength. And I found that only God could satisfy my need. With repentance and contriteness of heart, I begin to seek God. God led me on a journey to go after Him with all my heart. And I did, and God satisfied. It was there after I began to strip myself of my own things, my own pride, and my own religious ways, and my own understanding, that God began to pour into me. God began to pour Himself into me at the fountain of living waters. I experienced after a complete surrender to God and a resignation of myself. You see, God can't do anything in us until we resign ourselves of self. Amen. You got to surrender yourself to the cross, to the Christ. You'll find that Christ will be the Christ for your crisis. Amen. Whatever you're going through, Jesus will be the Christ for your crisis. He'll be the water that you need in a thirsty and barren land. But I cried out to God, and God began to satisfy me as David did, running from his own son who was in pursuit of his own life because he hated his father. Oh, you're talking about a troubled home. I see troubled homes every day. I see people, meet people, talk to people who live in the shadows and the darkness of troubled homes, dysfunctional homes. We think that God can't use us or won't use us. Then He would have never used David, friend. God doesn't call the qualified. He qualifies the called. Amen. God is looking for people who will hunger and thirst after Him, who will go after Him with all their heart, soul, mind, and strength, to love God with everything within you, to go after that. You're not perfect. You never will be perfect. Get over yourself. Take a lot of pressure off your life. You're not perfect. Guess what? Your neighbor's not perfect. Guess what? The brothers and sisters in this church are not perfect. Amen. If your perfection is greater than them, then you're a hypocrite. Woo. That's what this book says. He that is without sin, let him throw the first stone. Are you without sin? Then stand right now and say, I'm without it. You'll never be. We're all broken people. We're all broken people. We're all searching. We're all looking for a drink that can only satisfy our thirst. And that's a relationship with Jesus Christ. And I went after him. Oh, Jesus, give us a thirst. And he filled me with his precious Holy Ghost. Rivers of living water. John chapter 7. He will be in us a well of living water springing up unto everlasting life. For out of the bosom, out of your heart and your soul will come rivers of living water flowing over into everlasting life. Wells of living water flowing into everlasting life. February the 17th, 1991, I was in another church besides this, and I was hungry and thirsty for God. I thought I was a second-class citizen. I thought that really that I had used up all my tokens. Have you ever been that way before in your life? Felt like you used up all your tokens. You had no other tokens left. Here you are standing in front of a drink machine, and you don't have anything left in your pocket. Well, how am I going to get what I need out of there? That's what I thought. I thought that God's presence and His power and all the fulfillment of His power was only for a certain group of people, usually denominal names, and I'm not going to name people. But here I was, hungry and thirsty for God. I began to drink everything I could about God. I began to eat everything I could relating to God. And God satisfied the hunger. But that night, I said, God, I need you. At 8:30 that night, I thought I would go home disappointed. A powerful prophetic word stood up in the audience as Kathy gave a prophetic word earlier. I hope you grabbed a hold of that. I thought I was a nobody. And in myself, I am a nobody. But know this. I was somebody to God that night. So as if he didn't speak to anybody else, he spoke to me in that congregation of 150 people. And he pinpointed me out in a powerful prophetic word. Do I not know how to give you good gifts, the Lord says? Do you not know, are you not an earthly father? Do you not know how to give your sons and your daughters gifts? And I'm much more than your father who can give you more than that gift. I'll give you the Holy Spirit if you just ask me. How much more will I give you the gift of the Holy Spirit if you just ask me? And you know what I hadn't done, Roy? I hadn't asked the Lord. I didn't think that I mattered. I didn't think I measured up, so I didn't ask the Lord. Oh, I went to the altar and prayed different times, but there was a void, there was a hunger, there was a thirst, and God was drawing me to that well. And I had an encounter that night. When I, at 8:30 that night, Sister Jane Reed stood up and said, Pastor, we need to pray for Brother Jeff. Right out of the room. God just saw me right there, oldie, right out of that room, right out of 150 people. Guess what? God knows you. He knows everybody in this room. And you may be feel like you're the only one here, but guess what? God's got your audience, amen. Because God wants to do a work in you, amen. Somebody shout amen. I don't even know why I'm saying all this. 8:30 that night, I went to the altar. And I lifted my hands. I remember this. I lifted my hands to the Lord. I lifted my hands right there. And I promise, it was like a shaft of light. Powerful light. Warm light. Like anything I'd ever known before. Came from the heavens. And consumed me. And I began to weep and cry. I promise you this. If my tears were in a bottle, you would have to put them in a freezer to freeze, to get them cool enough to handle. Because my tears were hot enough to burn you. There was a riving, there was a fountain of water, hot water, molten God lava coming out of my spirit that night, amen. That flowed over and flowed over, amen, in my life. And you know what? Oh, I've never been the same. How many knows when you go to the well, you'll never be the same? Amen? You'll never be the same. I'm going to close with this. I'm going to close in this. Because some of you are here this morning. Some of you are here. And this scripture right here is never ministered to. And I'm not going to be lengthy here, so hang on. This is in Genesis chapter 21. You don't have to turn there. We don't really have time. We're not going to read any scripture there, but I just want you to look at something here. We're going to have a baptism in a little bit. Man, am I going to be excited? We're going to go up to the real water, the real water up there at Lost Creek. We're going to take a young soldier for Christ, a young ETSU soldier, down to the water, baptize her. And God is doing a powerful work in Miss Lexi. Amen. God wants to do a powerful work in you. The Bible says that God spoke to Abraham in verse 12 of chapter 21. And God spoke to Abraham and he said, Do not let it be displeasing to you to your sight because of the lad or because of your bondwoman. Whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. And in Isaac your seed's going to be blessed, not in Ishmael. How many knows that Abraham had more than one son? He had a son of promise, and his name was Isaac. And it was through his seed that all the seed would be blessed. The descendants would be blessed. But you got to understand that there was another son. We don't talk about this son, only in negative terms. But Abraham had another son, not by choice. It wasn't God's plan. How many knows that God can take our mess ups and love us anyway, amen? He can love us in spite of what we've done to mess up. Bad choices, bad decisions, all kinds of things that we do. Have we not been there? Have we not done that before? Have we not made the bad decisions? Have we not made bad choices? Have we not said, oh, I wish I had never done that, or I had not done that? Sure we would. All of us had done it. All of us had done that. So yes, more than one, my sister. So he had a son by not promise, and his name was Ishmael. It wasn't God's plan. And that plan caused a lot of problems. Caused a lot of problems in the household with Sarah. Sarah couldn't get along. And the two children couldn't get along, Isaac and Ishmael. So she said, he's got to leave. He's got to leave. He's got to leave. Hagar's got to leave. Ishmael's got to leave. So make a plan, Abraham. Get him out of here. I'm not going to put up with this anymore. So God says, whatever he tells you to do, whatever she tells you to do, do it. So this is what he did. He got a water bottle, and he got some provisions for her, and he gave it to her and sent her off into a wilderness. God found me in a wilderness. He found me in a wilderness of hopelessness. Wandering in a wilderness. There are some of you been wandering in the same wilderness for years. Let me ask you a question. Aren't you tired of wandering in your wilderness? Wouldn't you like to come out of the wilderness? Amen. Wouldn't you like to come out of the wilderness? So here he was, wandering in the wilderness. And the Bible says, may have to get Mrs. R to come and read this. So she wandered in the wilderness. And the Bible says in verse 15, and the water and the skins was all used up. There's some of you in this room right now, you're in the wilderness, and you felt like your whole life is used up. You've been used by everybody. How many's ever felt like you've been used by people before? But some people get to the point, they're all used up. What am I going to do, Lord? I'm wandering in this wilderness, and I've used my only source. I've used my sources, and my water's all used up. The water is used up. And she placed the boy under a shrub, under a tree, to die. She placed him under this tree to die. Then she went and sat down across from him. And the distance from about was about a bow shot from where she said herself, let me not see the death of him. So she sat opposite of him and lifted up her voice and she wept. She cried out to God. She lost her way and her life was used up, and now her son was going to die. Everything she lost right here. And God heard the voice of Hagar. Then the angel of God called to her. What ails you, Hagar? What's wrong with you? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of this lad where he is. I'm glad that God sees us where we are. And here's, we don't have to take steps to get to another level for God to meet us, because God will meet you where your need is. Amen. He'll meet you where your heart is. He'll meet you where your thirst is. And only God can satisfy that thirst. Turn to somebody and say, he's still talking about the water. Hold your right hand and wave at me right here. I'm closing. Hold your right hand up. You're not holding your right hand, I'm going to come back and sit with you, or I'll go home to chicken dinner with you, all right? Hold your right hand. Hang there just a second. God heard his voice, and God heard the voice of the boy where he was. And he said, arise, lift up the lad, and hold him with your hand, and I'll make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes. This is what I want to say in closing here today. You'll never drink until you see the water, friend. You'll never drink until you see the water. You can go to church. You can go through all the motions. You can do all the religious rigmarole. You can do all the things that you need to do. You can try to obey the rules. You can do this and you can do that. But your thirst will never be satisfied until you see the water first. Amen. God can never satisfy or quench your thirst until you first see the water. And you're dying of thirst. You're in an ocean full of water, but you can't drink. Water, water everywhere, but not a drop to drink. God's showing you a well, and you need to get to the well. You need to get to the water and take yourself a long drink in his presence and saturate your soul with his glory and his presence. Give you a reason to get up on Monday morning. Give you a reason to go through the week. Give you a reason to talk to your friends. Give you a reason to lift your hands and worship God. Listen, when you come to church, you don't have to go through A, B, C, D. Let me find a reason I can worship him. Jesus is a reason you worship him. Amen. If you've got to try to find another reason, you're only looking in an empty well. Only Jesus can satisfy your thirst. So she showed him the well. And she went and filled the skin with water and gave her son a drink. And he lived. God wants to give you a drink today so you can live, so you can enjoy your life. God wants you to enjoy your life. Money don't make you enjoy your life. It helps a little bit, but it's not. I like that, Mrs. R. It helps a little bit. It helps us pay the bills. But guess what? It's not the ultimate goal of yours. You're only seeking dry places. You need the water of life. That's what only Jesus can give you. Because he can only satisfy your soul. Are you thirsty today? Are you in the wilderness wondering? Do you need a drink? Let me tell you, come to the water. That's what I found when I found the Lord. But a zillion times beyond that, Jesus satisfies the deepest needs within the recesses of your heart. And only Jesus can satisfy your thirst. Only Jesus can satisfy your thirst. Are you thirsty? Do you need the Lord today? Are you here? Are you broken, wandering in a wilderness, hopeless, searching and looking, wondering for something to satisfy the need in your heart? Maybe something to satisfy the loneliness in your heart, the hurt in your heart, the pain in your heart, the rejection, disappointment in your life. If that's you here today, then you've come to the well. And I want to say, I want to point to you, Jesus is the well. He's the well of living water. Come and get you a drink of the Lord today. And there's some of you here, you've come to the well. But you're in a dry place in your life, and sometimes you've got to come, you've got to look over the brim of that well. You've got to say, I know there's water in there, Lord. Spring up, well. Sometimes you've got to speak to your well. You've got to say, spring up, Lord, because your presence can only satisfy my need and my want and my heart. So, Lord, I pray in Jesus' name that you would stir the hunger and thirst of every soul here today. Lord, I know that there are people today who think that this is just another word. This is just another sermon. This is just another thing that we've done today to satisfy maybe what they think is a guilt. Not going to church. But Lord, I pray today that this is more than that. Lord, that deep within their hearts, you would reach in and Father, reveal to them, show them where the well is, show them where the water is. Come to the water, all ye that are thirsty. Come and drink. Come and drink, the Lord says. Come and drink, and I'll satisfy your soul. I'll feed your hungry soul. I'll water your barren land. I'll speak life to the desert. I'll send waters and floods to the desert lands of your life. I'll satisfy your soul. If you're here today and you need Jesus in your life, I want you to be gut honest with the Lord today. Pastor R, I need him more than I need anything else in my life. I need him. Slip your hand up with mine. If that's you, slip your hand up. I need him, Lord, more than anything in my life. I need Jesus in my life. You'll say, well, you mean, does that mean if I raise my hand, does that mean that I'm... Get over that. You just need the Lord. How many knows that you just need the Lord? I said, if you need the Lord here today, and that's you, raise your hand. Anybody else that's not raising their hand, I'm thinking you don't need the Lord. How many knows that you need the Lord today? How many knows that you need the Lord? Only Jesus can satisfy your thirst. Only Jesus can satisfy your thirst. Only Jesus, not the world, not money, not relationships, not people. Listen, not your plans. Only Jesus can satisfy your thirst. And if you're here today and you need him, be honest with me and slip your hand up with me and say, Pastor R, that's me. I need it more than my life itself. Be honest with the Lord. I'm going to ask you to do something. If you're here today and you have the presence of the Lord in your life, God's in your life, there's no mistake about that, but you're going through a dry season in your life. You're going through a dry season in your life and you say, Lord, Pastor R, I need a refreshing. I need a refreshing that comes from the well of Jesus' presence today. I just need another drink of good cold water, because I'm in a dry place in my life, and I just need a good cold drink of Jesus. If that's you, just slip your hand up with mine and say, Pastor R, that's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. That's me. Slip your hand up right now. That's me. That's me. That's me. I don't care if you've been preaching 20 years. I don't care if you've been preaching 80 years. If you need a good cold drink of Jesus today, lift your hand with mine and say, "By that, pray for me, Pastor R. I'm going to ask you to do something. I'm going to ask you to come and get you a drink. That's as simple as it is. I'm going to ask you to come and get you a drink of Jesus. I'm just going to ask you to come, and we're going to get a chorus of this song. And I want you to come as a deer pants for the water. As a deer that runs, as a deer runs to the forest, panting after that water. I've got to have a drink of water. I've got to have a drink of water. I want you to come today and get yourself a drink of water right now. Just come. Just come. Just come and get you a drink right now of Jesus. Come on. Get you a drink of Jesus right here today. Come. Come. I don't care if you've been a Christian 29 years. I don't care if you've been a Christian 89 years. Come and get you a drink of Jesus today. Come and get you a drink of Jesus. Come and get you a drink of the Lord. Come and get you a drink of the Lord today. Come on, Jenny. Come on. I'm going to need a drink from the Lord today. I just need another drink, Lord. I just need another drink. One drink won't do it, Lord. I've got to have your presence, Lord. I just need a drink. Come on. Obey the Lord. Just obey the Lord right now. Just obey the Lord. Let's all stand to our feet. Let's all stand to our feet. Come on. What emotion right now? Come and satisfy your thirst right now. Come. Come. He that is thirsty, let him come and take of the water of life. Come, 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 come.
You're my friend.
Come on.
And
I need a drink, Lord. 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 My soul thirsts for you. My soul pains for you, Lord. Are you satisfied? Are you satisfied? Come on, right now, take you a drink. Take you a drink right now. Take you a drink right now. Take you a drink right now. There's a fountain open up. There's a fountain opening. There's a fountain opening right now.
Yes.
Then it's empty. It's empty. He'll never satisfy your thirst. You can have 100 jobs. You can make six figures a year. You can have all kinds of things and homes and cars. You can party. You can do this. You can do that. But only Jesus will satisfy. And sometimes we think, if I've got just what I want, I that's a dangerous place to be, my friend. That's a dangerous place to be when you think you have just what you want, just what you need. How many knows that you can't get enough of Jesus? Turn to somebody and say, I can't get enough of him. Oh, did you hear that? I can't get enough of him. got to have him on Monday. I got to have him on Tuesday. I got to have him on Wednesday. I got to have him on Thursday. I got to have him on Friday, Saturday. Thank God I can have him on Sunday too. Amen. But if you're only worshiping God with a Sunday experience, you need a drink, my friend. Guess what? God's serving drinks today. If people got a hold of this, there would be no bar rooms in America. Amen. There'd be no bars in America. There'd be no drug problems in America. There'd be no, listen, because that won't satisfy you. Only Jesus can satisfy you. And Lord, we hunger and thirst for you. I want everybody to bow your head. I know we're getting ready to leave right now. There are people still ministering here at the altar. I feel like saying that this morning because there are people here, I feel like, that are self-satisfied. You're in a state of self-satisfaction. You're in a place that you think that you have enough. But God says there's a deep need deeper than that. And if you're here today, listen, ministry team, listen, preachers, ministry team, servants of God here, listen, people who are in ministry here at this thing, God's taking us to another level. You're not going to make it on tomorrow's vision, and today's what you have. There is more. Everybody shout, there's more. God wants to give you a drink today. And he's calling you. Deep's calling to deep. God's calling you today. Let's bow our heads for just 1 second. I know I've asked this before. You're here to say, Pastor R, God's really dealt with my heart. And I know that there's a need deep in my heart. And I can't be satisfied where I am. I know there's more. And I need more from the Lord. Just lift your hand up with mine and say, by that, pray for me. Pray for me. God bless those hands. 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 Thank you for being so honest today. Anyone else today, just lift your hand up with mine and say, Pastor R, pray for me. Pray for me. God bless. Lord, you know every life. We're not going to be satisfied, Lord, on yesterday's experience. We're not going to be satisfied with that because we need more today. I need another drink today, Lord. And so if you're here and you need another drink and God spoke to you and you raised your hand this last time, God's still calling. He's still calling to the deep. He's still calling to your heart today. And I want you right now, if you raise your hand, come right on up here. We're going to pray a prayer all corporately together. Don't be satisfied. Come on right now. You raise your hand right now. I want you to come. I want you to come right now. Wherever you were, I want you to come. Come on. God's speaking. He's calling. He's calling. He's calling to the dry lands. He's calling. He's calling to the barrenness of the dry lands. Satisfy your thirst right now. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus. I pray that you fill every heart with your powerful presence. Lord, I pray, Father, that you give men and women, boys and girls, a powerful drink that can only come from your presence. Lord, I pray that you stir an unquenchable thirst within our hearts for more, Lord. We won't be satisfied with yesterday's blessings, Lord. We won't be content with yesterday's manna, Lord. Father God, we're hungry today. We're thirsty today. And we need you, Lord. Lord, I need you. I'm a hungry pastor. I'm a thirsty pastor, Lord, and I need you. Oh, Lord, thank you, Jesus. I need you, Lord. Father God, I pray by your powerful Holy Spirit, move in the lives of every person here today. May no one be excluded, Lord. Move in their hearts, move in their hearts, move in their hearts. In Jesus' name, let it create a thirst, a hunger for you, Lord, unlike anything they've ever known. And that only your presence can be. In Jesus' mighty name. One last time, let's lift our hands to the Lord right now. And and just say, Lord, as you're lifting your hands with your hands wide open, just be a funnel, okay? Just be a funnel. Here, Lord, we're funnels, Lord. We're funnels, Lord, for your glory. Just lift your hands to him. You said, I've never lifted my hands before. Listen, don't worry about that. Just lift your hand and be a funnel. Say, God, I need your presence right now.